Guten Erb Shabbos. We bring it. I think this is the earliest Kabbalah Shabbos minyan in all of Jerusalem. Unless there's somebody who's studying the Zmiros of Shabbos on Motzei Shabbos, Sunday night. It's already Shtikl Tosefa Shabbos, bringing more Shabbos into the world. So in the Sefer Olat Raya, Cook's Siddur, two volumes, second Chilek. So there's several passages that were in Rav Cook, the Kutim on Shir Shirim. I'll read one for you that you don't have. If you have the non-stapled sheet, if you have the stapled sheet, it's the first piece on the first page. Minhagam shel Yisrael lekroa im kabal Shabbos Shir Shirim. The minhag of the Jewish people is to recite by Kabbal Shabbos this beautiful work of prophecy that we spoke about last week called Shir Ashir. She'ein kol ha'olam kulo kedai ke'yom she'niten bo Shir Ashirim le'Yisrael. Because the whole world in truth is worth nothing if not for the day that Shir Ashirim was given to the Jewish people. And compared to all other days, those days are like nothing. Shakol aksuvim kodesh v'shir hashirim kodesh kedashim. Ve'ein v'chol hashvua shah mukdeshes kishazu. And what time do we have in the week? What time is more precious, more beautiful, more holy than this hour before Shabbos, when we're makabel Shabbos ba'ava? Sh'aznikar misgale tosefes or kedushas ha'Shabbos v'gufa adam. Because in that moment when a Jew is makabel Shabbos, there's a certain influx of Kedusha into the Gufa Adam, into the body of the human being. And with that influx of Kedusha, a Jew is able to understand this remarkable Sefer that we spoke about. So I want to do a piece from the Likutim over here, of Rav Kook. And it's on page Gimel. In the left side of page 2, and you're in. It's the second piece on the left side. Each of these is their own, each paragraph, so to speak, or quotation mark is its own piece. And these Likutim. Before we do the piece, I just want to read for you a moment some of the background of this piece. Those of you who are interested in Rav Kook's Torah, although this is not a Shir in Rav Kook, there are two remarkable resources, in addition to obviously all the Sfarim themselves, but for people who are trying to learn to be accustomed to the reading of the style of Rav Kook, you could sometimes find the ideas daunting, so I don't know of any resource, aside from there's a few books that have direct translations, but two good resources for if you just want to get some of the ideas, which sometimes if you have a general notion of what Rav Kook is trying to say, or what Rav Kook is saying, so then, you know, the translations can sometimes be a little easier. You'll recognize more words than you thought you would have otherwise if you were just going in blind. So one of those is a website called RavKookTorah.org. RavKookTorah.org is very, very strong. Weekly Torahs on Parsha and Moadim. It's a very strong resource. And the other is I forget exactly what the website is, but there's a website that's connected to this yeshiva in Katamon. Their website is something like yeshiva.co.il or something like that, something very simple, straight like that. But I believe it's easy to find, easy enough. Eretz Chem de Kolel is the, and they have kind of summaries of pieces from Einaya, from Rav Kook, which is an excellent resource as well. Anyway, so this is from RavKookTorah.org. This is a remarkable backdrop to the piece we're going to study tonight. I understand what it has to do with Zmiros of Shabbos. It was 1901 at a summer resort on the Baltic Sea. A young graduate tells Yeshiva, troubled by matters of faith, opened his heart and his questions to the erudite young rabbi of Boisk, Rabbi Abraham Isaac, a Kohen cook, who was vacationing there. During an excursion to the seashore, their conversation turned to the book of Shir Hashirim, the Song of Songs. Rav Kook gave a brilliant exposition on the nature of this poem of love and, in general, the place of romance and love in literature. The novel ideas vividly stirred the young man. In fact, he entreated Rav Kook to stop. He knew the conversation would continue to other topics, and he feared losing this rare gem. He hurried to retrieve a pen and paper so that the rabbi could write down his ideas. Rav Kook acceded to the request, and so, after his return, with the writing implements, the Rav spent the next few minutes perched on a rock by the roaring sea, writing down his thoughts on Shir Hashirim. Not long after this incident, the editor of the journal Mizrach suggested that Rav Kook submit an article to be included in the next issue. The young man excitedly proposed sending the short essay written on the seashore, and Rav Kook agreed. The essay subsequently made its way into a number of other periodicals until it eventually printed in Olat Ra'aya, Rav Kook's commentary on the Siddur. The young man later became the well-known prominent scholar, Rabbi Dr. Benjamin Menashe Lewin, author of the monumental work, Otzer HaGaon. That's the backdrop. It's pretty cool. So Rav Kook wrote this on a rock, overlooking the ocean. Gevalt l'shvi zocha. So Chazal tell us, Kol haksuvim kodesh, ashir shirim kodesh kedosh. All the works of Tanakh, of ksuvim specifically, are kodesh. And Shir Hashirim is the Holy of Holies. You could hear the ocean roaring in the background. Maybe it's just air conditioning. So Rav Kook wrote, Hasafrut Tziyura Dechituva. Thank you, Yaakov. Literature, Safrut, literature. Tziyura, painting, v'chituva. According to our annotation over here, it says sculpture. Sculpting. Different types of art. Omdim lahotzi ala poel, kol hamusagim haruchnim. They stand with the potential, lahotzi ala poel, to actualize, to bring about, to bring, to enter, to actualize. Kol hamusagim haruchnim. All spiritual concepts. Hamutvaim ba'omek hanefesh ha'anoshis, which are embedded in the depths of the soul of man, of mankind, capital M. V'kolzman shechasar gam sirtut echad. And so long as even one drawing, one etching, is missing, Hagonas ba'omek ha'nefesh, which is still hidden inside the soul of any man, woman, or child. Shalo yotze la'pol od, that it has not yet become actualized in the world, it has not come to fruition. Yeshchova al'avodas ha'omenus la'hotzio. There is an obligation, an absolute chova, upon every person who has the ability, who is gifted with the art of being an artist, to bring that out into the world. There's a maisa by Rav Huttner. At one time, there was a certain student of his who was already grown up, had a child of his own. And Rav Huttner was once visiting in the house of this student, and told the father that he should invest a little bit of money in giving the kid piano lessons. And few weeks or a few months later, when Rav Huttner visited the student's house again, he made sure to ask him. He said, is your son taking piano lessons yet? And the father said, no, we haven't found, you know, the time or the resources, you know, to allocate the funds to the... And Rav Huttner, in the way that he would with those who he loved, chastised his student that he was making a terrible mistake because there was so much beauty that he was able to see something in this child. That there was so much artistic beauty in his child to bring it out into the world. And Rav Huttner, who was for a time a student of Rav Kook, complex relationship for another time. Rav Huttner is echoing here the words of his Rebbe, that kol zman shechaser gam sirtut echad, one drawing or one note of a symphony yet unwritten, it's the obligation of mankind to bring that out into the world, the beauty that's trapped in artistic expression. Muvan hadavar, however, it should be self-evident, sherak es osam ha'otzros, that only those treasure houses, shebahatchasam, that through their psicha, opening those places, mifsamim heim es avir hamatzios, that through the opening from the psicha of those treasure houses, the world itself, the air of the world, the avir haolam, the avir hamatzios, will be perfumed. Tov yafe lefata mikol dibor v'dibor sheyatzim mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenismale kol ha'olam kulum v'sam, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke at Har Sinai perfumed the air with this amazing and life-giving scent. And so it should be self-understood that we're only speaking here about artistic expression in every sense of the word, literature, painting, sculpturing, which perfumes the air of the world and not, God forbid, defiles it. But those things which are hidden because they should be hidden, shekavurasam hi biuram, that are hidden in order to be destroyed, lahem tukenes hayaseid sha'al ha'azinenu lachafur lachasos, upon which the shovel, which hangs, he's paraphrasing here from the pasuk, and Chumash, this amazing pun that he's making here, it's remarkable. Every line here that he's saying is saturated with halachos and gemaras. It's pretty amazing. If we had time, I could show you every single one of them. Not every single one, there's for sure many ones that I don't know, but every one that I see, I would share with you, but there's no time. But this one I can't pass up. He's saying such a great... that the Gemara talks about, the pasuk talks about, when the Jewish people would go to war, they would have a shovel, in addition to all their weapons, they would have a shovel. Ayin Shem, the letter Zayin Shir. They would have a shovel that they would keep on their on their belts to cover up anything unseemly. If they had to go to the bathroom, to cover it up. And the Gemara darshans from there that why is, based on this pasuk, why is the human hand gifted with a yaseid, this shovel? Why is it gifted with a... could mean a shovel, could also mean a peg. The Gemara itself makes a pun on the word yaseid and says that it's like a peg that we put our fingers in our ears when we're hearing not a nice thing. So Rav Kook is doubling the pun back over on its head to say that we have it. What's the purpose of the shovel? To cover up those unseemly things. Those things which belong hidden in the world. It's a Gemara in Ksubis, if I'm not mistaken. Towards the beginning. Shalazinenu lachpor lachsos. That we have this shovel, which we're supposed to use to cover and uncover. In other words, that same shovel which we're supposed to use to uncover all the beauty that the world has to offer. All the artistic beauty and the literary beauty that the world has to offer. Is that same shovel that we have to use to cover up that which is ugly and defiled in the world. V'oilo... Lemi shemishtamish b'sidoso lepoel hafachis. Woe unto the person who uses that shovel to do the exact opposite. Not to cover that which is unseemly and uncover that which is beautiful, but lehefech, does the exact opposite, and adraba, uncovers that which deserves to be covered, which belongs hidden beneath the ground, and covers that which is beautiful. Laman harbos ba'isha. just in order to have the thrill of uncovering human experience. Read a few more lines and say a few things. Za'azua ha-nefesh, so beautiful, I can't stop. Za'azua ha-nefesh shemitzad rikshe ha'ava ha-tivis. This soulful, this za'azua ha-nefesh, this turbulence of the soul, shemitzad rikshe ha'ava ha-tivis, which is caused by this natural love. The natural love, which is the topic of Shir HaShirim. Shenotelas chelak gadol b'mitzios, which grasps and takes up a very large portion of our experience. Mus b'musar b'chayim, both in terms of our ethical experience and our life experience. Heim ra'uyim lihispare shal yedei hasafrut b'chol atzdadim. It is fitting and proper that this natural love, this ava tivis, or to reverse it, it would be inappropriate to hide this natural love. And therefore, inversely, it is appropriate, lihisparish, to elucidate, to illuminate, al yedei ha-safrut, through literature, b'chol atzdadim shebehem, in every single way. Himotzei al-poel es ha-gnuzos, to bring out and to reveal that which is hidden. Now listen to this, because this is the most important. Because people use Rav Kook's writings to say all different types of things. All they do is they just, you know, put dot, 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 whenever they're not happy with Rav Kook saying something which speaks to Shmira and Yira. So Rav Kook says, Aval b'shmira hayoser ma'ula. However, the precondition to this elucidation, this soulful turbulence which needs to be expressed, that experience of the love of Shir HaShirim, Shmir ha-yoser ma'ula minetiyah letzad ha-shikarum shigesh be'ilah ha-rakashus. To be exceedingly careful to guard oneself from any netiyah, from any disposition towards the drunkenness. Like the Navi says, I'm drunk but not from wine. That I'm drunk but not from wine. That a person could be drunk from sorrow, a person could be drunk from evil. A person can be intoxicated with these feelings of love. Shemahapich osam, exactly what we were speaking about last week, those same feelings of tzamalcha nafshi, kamalcha basari. That a person could be drunk with those feelings. Shemahapich osam etahara tivis lutumah minuveles. So that he can take this holiness, this natural holiness, and with very great ease, can defile it with, make it into the most defiled filth. And therefore, rak anshei kodesh ru'uyim liyos shirei kodesh. That only to holy people, only to the Adam Kasher of Rabbi Nachman that we learned all the way back in the first week, only the Adam Kasher who sings about these exalted things, can we permit this type of undertaking. And it wasn't that long ago that we read Parshas Noach. So we know that Noach, who is the father of all mankind in a certain way, had three children. He had a child named Shem, a child named Cham, a child named Yefes. Yefes. And these names, like all names in Tanakh, if Tanakh feels the name, the need to tell someone's name, they're not just talking about their historical name. Although I'm not, Chas v'Shalom, suggesting that these weren't also their historical names. But you don't have to say in every case that the Torah is giving a historical name. Shifra and Puah being an example. Chazal is not primarily, the Torah is not primarily, Pnimius HaTorah is not primarily interested in teaching us history, but is interested in teaching us how we're supposed to live our lives. So the Svarim HaKadoshim explain that Shem, Cham, and Yafes are not just names of people, but are archetypical personalities. That shame, what is shame? Shame means a name. The Baal Shem Tov explained that the word neshama has its shoresh in the word shame. Shame means something's essence. Name is the essence of the thing. Adam Rishon named all the animals because he was able to see their essence. Cham means heat or passion. And Yefes means beauty. And my Rebbe once explained that Shem, Cham, and Yefes, if you look at their safrut, at their tziura, at their chituva, you look at the literature, you look at the paintings and the sculptures of Shem, Cham, and Yefes, so these are not just names, but these are character types. Shame and those who come from shame, specifically the Jewish people, but really, if you look carefully, all the people who come from shame, are primarily interested both in their music and their art and their literature with the essence of things. Certainly the Jewish people, our music, our art, walk into a Jewish person's home, the art that's hanging on their wall is spiritual in nature. But there's an underlying current of spiritual charge to all of our literature, to all of our art, our music. Cham is pashut, what cham is. Cham is passion. It's passionate dancing in the jungle around the fire. The children of Cham, who, as my Rebbe put it, like to sing very explicitly. Most of the children of Cham, they're the ones who, I don't even know if they have such a thing anymore, but if there is such a thing as a place where you go to buy CDs, like a store where you go to buy CDs, I don't even know if that exists anymore. That's just on, everything's online. But if there is such a thing, so they're most of the chevra who have the CDs where it says like parental warning, explicit lyrics, singing about passions. Do I need to give examples? Cars and money and body parts to be shaken. And then there's Yefes. And in a certain way, Yefes is the most dangerous. Because Yefes is a little bit the world that Rav Kook is talking about right now. That Yefes is beautiful, that's what it means. It's art, it's literature, it's music, it's sculpturing. And the reason that Yefes is so dangerous is that Yefes has the ability to take something which should be hidden and speak about it in a way which is presumably beautiful. Because everybody knows that when those chevra who took their name from the creepy crawlies on the floor wrote the song, "I Want to Hold Your Hand," they weren't just interested in holding hands. And when some of the chevra from Yefes write songs about how beautiful your eyes are, and lamashal, to pull something from my own youth without citing it by name, to talk about how beautiful it is to crash into you, they're not talking about playing Czech hockey. You know what I'm saying? They're not talking about checking somebody against the boards. And Yefes has the ability to take something which is supposed to be hidden and to say, "I want to talk about this in a beautiful way." Yefes is just Cham, if not checked. It's just Cham in disguise. It's just cham with a little bit of patchwork and makeup to make it look beautiful. Because everybody agrees that the world of that way of describing money and cars and life like that is disgusting. No person of sound mind thinks that that's a normal way to talk about the world. But Yefes has the ability to take it and make all of those things beautiful by describing it under the guise of artistic beauty. And what Rav Kook is saying here is that, of course, the Torah tells us that Yaft Elokim Liefes, there is divinity in Yefes. Yaft Elokim Liefes, God gave beauty to Yefes on the condition that Vayishkon Ba'ol Hashem, that Yefes dwells in the tents of Shem. They have to dwell in the tents of the beauty of Torah and of the Musar HaChaim that Rav Kook is talking about here in order to make it beautiful. Which is why it's so necessary, as Rav Kook says, that there be a Shmira HaYoser Me'ula. There has to be the utmost care. Minatil Tzad HaShikrom. To be careful not to get drunk on the ways of Yefes, untampered by the tents of shame. And Rak Anshe Kodesh Ru'im Lios Shari Kodesh. That only those who are the most holy are worthy of singing songs of Kedusha like this. Amnam, continuing, Amnam im nechsha l'chisaron klali be'ez safrut. But at the same time, there's a great danger at being overly cautious and therefore not being able to give rise to the full gamut of human expression. See, on the one hand, we can't entrust just anybody. But at the same time, if we don't allow this to be expressed in the world, there's a flaw. There's a flaw in our literature. When these inner longings of the human being, which are holy, sha'ava mirashemes osa, that this love which is etched into our insides, ba'osam ava hanhuga kmo roi lachshov l'chisaron im osam haza'azuim haramim v'hanasiim. How fitting it is to give rise to the expression of these inner zazum, this emotional, exalted turmoil. Shekol kach pu'ulim upol, that so much activate everything that's going on in the world until now, upolu, and in the future they will also. V'asidim lipol. Al kol tove b'nei adam, v'al kenes Yisrael b'yichud. That this longing, this yearning, which on the surface could seem to be a debased or defiled type of natural yearning, when it's expressed through Knesset Yisrael, hanovoy me'ahava, and flows and streams from love, Adon Kol Amasim, from the love that they have for Adon Kol Amasim, of Hashem who loves them and they who love Hashem, Makor HaTov V'Achesed, Eila HaRegashos, when they're in the tents of shame, when these find expression, when Yefes, when beauty finds expression in the tents of shame, is it possible that these feelings not be put into a work? They need to be put down into a book. Is there any value? Could we place a value on this love? Meaning it's invaluable. Can the seas really contain it? Hayachalchlu gavesh chakim, can the highest heavens even sustain it? This love. Hachisaron azeh amnam nimali lanu b'shira ava oso shu kodesh kadosh, hu shira shir masher l'shlomo. This lacking finds its fulfillment, like we spoke about last week, in the shir ha'ava, in the love song, which is the holy of holies, shira shir masher l'shlomo. And just as when our enemies went into the kodesh kadosh and mocked the Jewish people, like the Gemara says in Yuma, and mocked the Jewish people because they saw the Kruvim in the Kodesh Kedashim embracing each other as the Beis HaMikdash was about to be destroyed. And they said, this is what the Jewish people have in the Kodesh Kedashim? Idols involved in intimacy, embracing a male and a female Kruv. This is what the Jewish people are all about. It's because Kodesh Kedashim is the place where the Kruvim are able to embrace and it becomes holy. This is very harsh. Ukimo shemishu chamur la'ava. And just like a person who is like a donkey to the feeling of love. Lo yachush ma yechvetzu mishorei ha'ava b'shireim ha'pratim. Like a person who is numb like a donkey, who is unable to feel when he reads a poem which expresses the natural love of a human being for its creator. And he doesn't understand what do these poets, these singers, want from their poems. V'im haye yecholes biyado lahashpil es ga'aguehem ad kidei ti'imas chusho hagas. And if they were able to then take that and defile it and degrade it and to bring it down, to bring their disgusting longing into the world, they would be filled with a simchas halev and nefesh to do that. So too a person whose heart is covered over with foreskin. And whose heart is forced to feel that. As the Piazetz Rebbe so famously writes in Tzav Vezeros, that a person who doesn't express or feel that longing for Hashem in a holy way will definitely fall prey to finding that expression in a not holy way. And like Rav Machlis once explained, that the women who danced by Shiras Hayam, the Machalos, did not dance with the same usage of that word Machalos by the Chid Ha'igah. Only the men who didn't give expression to that holy song by Shiras Hayam fell prey to the disgusting, defiled, degraded expression of that by the Chet HaEgel. But someone who's tasted, in the beautiful words, listen to Rav Kook, so beautiful, someone who's tasted, Kedei Ti'imas Chusha, he's tasted, Shelo Ta'am Lisnase El Merome HaGyone Kodesh, he hasn't tasted the exalted beauty of this spiritual delight, of yearning for God. He's never sat with a Kedusha Slevi or an Omeli Melech. He's never sat with an O of Yisrael, he's never sat with a Tanya, and felt what it feels like to just want to reach out and give Hashem a hug to do the impossible. Can only read Shir HaShirim and see the Pshat. The Pshat that we said doesn't even exist last week. A person who's never felt, who's never tasted that depth of a yearning, a longing for Hashem, cannot read Shir HaShirim in a holy way. And has to be that way. Why? He's never felt the love of our rock, of the world, of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A person who is defiled and not wise. A fool. He cannot possibly encompass this feeling. Because these yearnings, these longings for the specific individual, the topic of Shir HaShirim, this is the etching which is left over from the treasure house of the feelings of the Jewish people. Asher bachar lo Hashem l'shmo l'zichro mipnei she'enu margish klal shum chisaron behefgin makom ela ela hargashos, who doesn't see anything gross or defiled in giving rise to these expressions in a holy way. Asher lo yidom avom mishalo hesiu eloka chachma yakir v'yachush. But a person who has never experienced this godly, divine chachma will recognize and will experience and will feel. A person who understands what it's like to yearn for that, understands that it would be impossible for our Kisvei Kodesh, for our Tanakh, not to contain Shel Uma Kedosha of our holy nation. Shekol Toldasa Malei Rishime Avas Nefesh Latzura Meuza. That is the stronghold, is the bedrock of all holy expression in the world, of all holy love, expression of love in the world. It would be impossible not to include in our holy works this book, Shir HaShirim. B'yimei Gadlusa V'hod Al Yedei Chesed Elyon Malei Hod, that in the peak so far of our experience during the days of David and Shlomo HaMelech, the peak of Jewish experience until the coming of Mashiach, which will be soon, needed to give rise to this book, Shir Hashir. Asher Kol Eile Oru Asa'ava, that all of these awaken and arouse this love. Chaskuvo Tziu Elapol Hamurgash. And brings it into the world of action. Yefshar B'Shem Ofen She'ele HaGa'aguim. It's impossible to even imagine that these yearnings, Lo Yirshemu B'Sefer Ba'otzer HaKloli Shesham Kol HaGyone Kodshenu Nechyasa. It would be impossible to imagine that we should not allow this holy feeling to join the ranks of the army of our Kisvei Kodesh, which run the gamut of the entire human experience. Ah, now listen to this. And now I can bring it back to Shabbos. Amnami shebe'es shesarku es b'saro b'misrokos shel barzel. And so therefore it is only he whose skin was filleted with iron combs, Rabbi Akiva himself, Yachul lahashiv kol yamai, who was able to say, this person was able to say, in the face of that, kol yamai hayisi mitzar al hamikra hazeh, that my entire life I was waiting, b'chol nafshecha b'chol mehodecha. Masa yavol yadai v'akaymenu, when will I possibly be able to finally give up my life for Hashem, to fully experience what it means to live and die for Hashem? Ulaharech b'osa shabbe echad, and to expand the Echad, not to just see Echad as being limited to the Beis Medrash, or the Beis HaKnesses, or to the Svarim, but can be Mamshech the Echad, as Rav Huttner so beautifully wrote, like we studied together last year, Jake, that to be Mamshech the Echad into all facets of our life, to Mamshech the Echad into picking up the groceries, and to be Mamshech the Echad into writing a song on a guitar or on a piano, to be Mamshech the Echad into writing a beautiful poem, to be Mamshech the Echad into making a beautiful movie to show the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, to be Mamshech the Echad into all facets of our life. Only that person who knew the secret of being Mamshech Echad ad kidei mesiras nefesh could be entrusted to understand and to say. Rak hu yachol lomar she'ein kol olam kulo kedai kiyom shenitin bo shir hashirim liYisrael. Only that person is able to see in Shir Hashir, who's tasted what it means to long for Hashem. Tzom alecha nafshi, kam alecha basari. Shekol aksuvim kodesh, v'shir Hashirim mamish kodesh kedasha. And so it's going to be Marv in a few minutes. But for us who are preparing early for Shabbos, and to put together what Rav Kook said in the beginning of the Likutim and what he's saying here, to understand that even once the book has been written, even once the book written by Shlomo HaMelech has been etched in paper and is set aside, Kosov Ledoros, Afal Pikein, it's only after a Jew commits an act of Mesiras Nefesh, of going through the 6 days of the week struggling, like we spoke about so many times already in this little Chabura, to go through the Mitzrayim of the 6 days of the week and to bleed and sweat and cry for Avodas Hashem. And to be Moser Nefesh Mamish Lagamre to the point when we go to the mikvah, and as the Belzer Rebbe pointed out, when a person goes to the mikvah, it's an act of Mesiras Nefesh. That after he goes to the mikvah, like the Tzadikim said, that after a person goes to the mikvah, he goes and says Shir Hashirim. Why? Because when a person goes to the mikvah, it's an act of Mesiras Nefesh. It's B'chol Nafshecha, you're going into a place, like the Tzadikim explained, you're going to a place where you literally can't breathe anymore. And you commit an act of a little bit resetting the clock. The Belzer Rebbe even points out that Nafshecha, B'chol Nafshecha, Nafshecha is Atbash of Tovel. Nafshecha, which means you're giving up your whole soul, is the Atbash, is the, if you take the Aleph and flip it with a Tuf, and you do this over all the letters. So Nafshecha means Tovel, to go into Tovel oneself. In the mikvahs, to prepare oneself for Shabbos, to commit that act of Mesiras Nefesh, both with the 6 days of the week and to prepare oneself for Shabbos, to come to Shabbos like a different person. So then we can open up Shir Hashirim, we can begin to sing the songs, and we can begin to understand what all the Meshorim are talking about and crying about in all the Zmiros of Shabbos. So so many stories about the Majid Zarebi. The Majid Zarebi was a Gon Olam in the world of song, end of the story. So many stories about him turning on Jews to Yiddishkeit. So like all the stories go, a lot of the stories about by the Majid Zarebi, there's the Majid Zarebi Chassidim were sitting by Shal Shudas time and they were singing the Gunim of Shal Shudas. And an officer in the army is drawn in by the sound of the Majid Zarebi Chassidim singing, and like the Majid Zarebi taught us in the first week, that people make a mistake and they think that the Olam HaTshuva is very close to the Olam HaNiglan. They're like probably right next to each other. That's why when you sing, it draws you to a place of tshuva. But the Majid Zarebi explained to us already that that's a mistake, because the Olam HaTshuva and the Olam HaNiglan are one. It's the same. It's not two different chambers. And this soldier was drawn in to the Majid Zarebi Shal Shudas and sat there transfixed by the Olam HaNiglan, by the Olam HaTshuva. And something arose, something awakened inside of him. And he approached some of the Hasidim and said, "Promise you won't tell, but I want you to know that I'm a Jew." And was slowly miskariv back to Yiddishkeit in a way that only the Nagunim of the Majid Zarebi could do. He practiced his Judaism privately. Until one time he was caught by one of the top chiefs in the army practicing his Judaism. And disgusted, this officer looked at him and said, "You Jew, what are you doing?" So he said, "Promise you won't tell anybody I'm Jewish, but I don't think you can understand. Please don't hurt me. All I beg of you is that you come join me one time and see what these Jews do." And this officer went together with this Yidla to the Majid Zarebi's Shal Shudas. And he was sitting there and he was overcome. He was also transfixed. And as he was leaving with his Jew, he said, "I'll let you off the hook, but I want you to know, promise you won't tell anybody, I'm Amish, also a Jew. I'm also Jewish." And as disgusted as I was when I caught you putting on your tefillin, you know, doing your Jewish stuff, he said, "There's something so holy about that niggun that those Jews were singing." He said, "I'm Amish, I'm also a Jew." He was a Jew, he wasn't a non-Jew, he was a Jew. He said, "But when I saw you, I was so disgusted with my own Judaism, and when I heard those songs, it brought me back to a place of such kedusha, of such longing." So Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo, this is the song of Shlomo HaMelech, HaMelech Shalom Shalom. Not the song only of Shlomo HaMelech, as Rashi says, it's the song of the king, that HaShalom Shalom, talking about the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. That when a Jew reads Shir HaShirim, there's a certain Shalom, there's a certain peace, there's a certain Shlemus that he finds in his life. He's able to be Marech the Echad through his whole life, to find Hashem in all of his talents, and all of his mistalents. That he's able to find Hashem in the highest and in the lowest. And the niggun of Shir HaShirim is able to bring him back. It's able to take something which potentially could be so destructive, which has the same potential to fall into the tent of Cham, and yet when it's expressed properly in a holy way in Shir HaShirim, when it's expressed in the tents of shame of the Jewish people, so we're zocha to this beautiful gift that we sing together on Erev Shabbos. Hashem should help us. It should be Erev Shabbos soon. It is Erev Shabbos in the world. We should be zocha soon. It's the end of the fifth day. Things are starting to speed up, and Mashiach should show his face soon. We should be zocha to a little bit Tosefa Shabbos. Hashem should bring Mashiach early. Zocha to the day when all the Jewish people together are singing Shir HaShirim and realize the Kedusha, which is embodied and embedded in every single Jew.